From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns with you once again as we continue our study of the life of Christ, looking at the Gospel's portrait of the Lord Jesus. I trust you'll stay with us for the rest of this 30-minute segment as we continue what is for all Christians a very vital study. First, however, our hot topic for today, our commentary on a current event. We're dealing with episcopal priests who have openly entered into sodomite marriages. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, admits that he fears that the Church of England is about to split wide open over the issue of homosexual clergy. Conservatives are demanding action to remove them from the oversight of homosexual bishops. So Rowan Williams is looking for a compromise that will hold the church together until a more formal split can be arranged over the next decade. What has added fuel to the fire is the news that 51 Anglican clergy have married in civil ceremonies, that is, in homosexual civil ceremonies. All this is occurring in the run-up to an international summit that Williams will chair in Africa next month, when he and his fellow primates from the 38 self-governing provinces of the 70 million strong worldwide Anglican Communion will discuss the crisis. The outlook in the Episcopal churches is grim for anyone hoping for a principled decision. Rowan Williams has said that he's looking for a compromise, and he said that he feared anything that set Christians more deeply at odds with each other. He continued, "And because I am an ordinary sinful human being, I fear the situation slipping out of my control, such as it is. I fear schism, not because I think it's the worst thing in the world, but because at this particular juncture, it's going to be bad for us. It's going to drive people into recrimination and bitterness." End of quote. It's going to be bad for us. It's going to drive people into recrimination and bitterness. Sad as these results are, it's amazing that the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, should say that these are the big issues that worry him. Clearly, he accepts that practicing sodomites may be practicing Christians, even practicing ministers and bishops in the Episcopal Church. He mentions not a word about the clear moral imperatives of the Scriptures, and he never once refers to practicing an abomination in the sight of a holy God. No, all he's worried about is that this controversy is going to set Christians at odds with each other. This is where compromise with apostasy leads. If Rowan Williams were even remotely interested in finding the biblical, that is, the only Christian solution to the crisis in the Anglican Communion, he would be working hard to relieve all practicing sodomites of their charges and seek to call the Anglicans back to their original biblical moorings. He's not doing anything of the kind, so division seems inevitable. Isn't it ironic that the acceptance of sodomite unions is the cause of such a deep disunion as will split the world's Episcopal churches wide open? And I say, let it come. The sooner those who are left in the Anglican Communion who actually believe the Bible separate themselves from such rank apostasy as their church has betrayed for years, the better. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, and we come to you on this station at this time each day, Monday through Friday. We're glad to have you listening in. In each broadcast, we mention our website to you, and I trust that you will go along there and see if there's something that may be of interest. If you'd like to download a program, hear again one of the sermons, check out again one of the radio commentaries, or browse our web store, you'll find much there to interest you. The website is Let the Bible Speak Radio. The word radio is important here. LetTheBibleSpeakRadio.com. I trust that you'll go along and see something that will be a blessing to you. You can be in touch with us in one of three ways. You may mail us, email us, or telephone us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us at 1-866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. We count it a privilege to hear from you.
Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near. Praise Him in glad adoration. Praise ye the Lord, oh, let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again, gladly for a
And now we continue with our study of the life of Christ, the Gospel's portrait of Christ, thinking particularly upon His tender touch. And we start at a point that touches every one of us, our personal need of the touch of the Master's hand.
There's not a soul among us this morning, but that needs to meet with the Christ of a tender touch. We live in a rough world. We live in a cruel age. We are our own worst enemies. Some of you are sitting, enemies of God, dead in sin. making your own case worse with every step you take. You may be here this morning, crushed in heart, despondent in mind, broken in dreams, guilty in soul, and a heartbeat away from a lost eternity. Thank God there is a Savior who can touch the dead and raise them to life. Touch your deaf ears and make you hear the music of the gospel. Hear music in a message that you never thought would be of any interest to you. Touch your eyes to open them to behold the beauty that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, for the touch of the Lord. God's people need that touch. We come to church this morning with many a grief, many a heartache, many a trouble. Oh, for the touch of the Master's hand. Now, if I could do the job, I'll not afflict you with any attempt, but if I could do the job, now would be the time to recite a poem my wife used to say when she was a young girl, of the old violin, battered and broken, up for auction, worth pence, until one steps forth and takes the old decrepit instrument, brings music from it that none could ever imagine, and its value goes through the roof. What made the difference? Just the touch. Just the touch of the Master's hand. You come to God's house this morning with a life that's worthless, talents that are useless, hope that lies in ashes. The devil tells you you're worth nothing. I want to tell you, just a touch from the hand of Christ will make all the difference. He'll bring from your life the music, you've heard of the phrase, the music of the spheres. Let me tell you, that will take on a new meaning when you've got the touch of the Master's hand. He'll bring a light instead of darkness, a peace and a serenity, a calmness and an assurance instead of turmoil. He'll bring hope instead of despair. He'll bring heaven instead of hell. He'll bring you to God and rescue you from sin. All with the touch of the tender hand of Christ. Oh, that today you would come with all your leprous impurity, with all your urgent need, and all the depths of your condition and spiritual state before God. Oh, that you would come as you are, and feel the touch of Jesus' hand. The Scripture speaks also of His eyes. It draws a lot of attention to the majestic manner of the Lord Jesus Christ. One writer said, His eye at times seemed to pierce with irresistible power. And I think that's certainly true. Both friend and foe alike were awed by His gaze, and they felt the searching power of the eye of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me turn you to Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 5. Here we're dealing with Christ and the man with the withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. We read in verse 2, they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. He saith to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. See, they weren't interested in truth. They were just a bunch of lying scoundrels, twisted religious hypocrites. They would pull their own ox out of a ditch on the Sabbath so that they would not be financially at a loss. But one of the children of Abraham could sit there bound with infirmity. They would deny the God of creation the right to say, stand up. Oh, they could stand up. They could sit down. They could walk. They could do whatever they pleased. But for Christ to say to him, stand up, somehow there was sin in his standing. What a bunch of lying hypocrites. How often religion degenerates into an empty, vicious shell of external rules and regulations without the slightest hint of spiritual reality or the knowledge of God or his Christ. God save us from that. What do we read then? Verse 5. And he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved at the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch forth thine hand. Stretch it forth. And he did. But you see it? Man, I wonder what it would have been like to be in that bunch of Pharisees. They had watched him. In that little statement, he looked round about upon them in anger. There is a description of something very closely resembling what John tells us in Revelation chapter 1 regarding the eyes of the exalted Christ. They are a flame of fire. And I can tell you that that bunch of hypocrites felt the blaze of the gaze of Christ that day. You don't fool the Savior. He hits hypocrisy. Blazes in anger, righteous anger, with his eyes burning into the soul. Oh, that you would feel that gaze on you this morning. Oh, indeed, that we were desirous of having it. And pray indeed that God's dear Son would gaze to the depths of our being. Let me not live a lie. Let me not live a lie. Lord, penetrate to the depths of my being with the gaze of the eyes of the Son of God. See me, and let me know that God sees me, and let me see me as he sees me. We turn over in Mark to chapter 5, verse 32 and verse 33. Remember this story on the way to the home of Jairus. The woman has the issue of blood, and she comes and she touches the hem of his garment. And Jesus says, who touched my clothes? The disciples think, what is going on here? And they remonstrate with him. This shows you how much they recognized him as a man and how little they recognized of his deity. They were willing to argue with him, and they said, Lord, you see the crowd? I mean, have you ever been in a large crowd? Have you ever really been in a packed crowd with everybody jostling? It's one of the scariest things you'll ever experience when you really get into a huge crowd that wants to go someplace that you don't want to go. And the disciples are saying, Lord, you see this crowd? Must have been 100 people touched the garments of Christ in those few minutes. And you're asking, who touched me? But then we read verse 32 of Mark chapter 5. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now that lets you see something of the eye of Christ. That lets you see something of Christ majestic amidst the crowd. There you see the milling hundreds. They have all in some way touched him, but only one person has touched him so that virtue flows from him. Oh, I wish I had time to go up that side alley this morning. Hundreds come to church. Hundreds read the Bible. Hundreds say the prayers. Hundreds sing the songs. Hundreds have that incidental touch with Christ, but never in a way whereby they get saving virtue from him. But she touched him, and he knew it. He knew it. Do you see? He looked round about to see her. He knew who it was. He knew it. And that gaze isolated that woman in the crowd. She knew there was no hiding from the eye of Christ. With trembling she came forward and told them all. Of course, if she'd been able to think straight, and I'm not condemning her, I'd have been feeling the same way, she'd have known she had no need to fear the one who gave virtue to heal her instantaneously was not going to condemn her. You sit in a crowd this morning. Have you ever sat in a gospel meeting? Or even as a Christian, have you ever sat in a meeting surrounded by dozens, scores, hundreds, maybe thousands of people? But you felt that the eye of the Lord was in you. It was isolating you. What he had was for you. My, that's a precious moment. It's an important moment. Never despise that moment. Never treat it lightly. If today God isolates you with his gaze, then it is for your good. Time forbids that I go through a list of texts in Mark 10. Back to Peter in Mark 8. Over in the Gospel of Luke. You could go on to where he looked. But what the Bible says about the eyes of Christ. Remember Hagar's words, "Thou, God, seest me." The all-seeing Christ. He sees you as you are. He sees you individually. There's a lovely theme running through the Gospels. Others saw a crowd. Jesus never missed the individual in the crowd. He saw Matthew. Not one of the other disciples with him would have given Matthew a second look. Jesus saw him. Surging along with the crowd in Jericho, he stopped and he looked up. And he saw Zacchaeus. Jesus never misses the individual in the crowd. He sees you where you are. He sees you as you are. He sees your need. He sees through you. He sees to the very depths of your being. He sees through empty profession. He sees through mere religion that comes from the lips but not from the heart. He sees reality. Bless God And you realize He sees me. He sees me. He's got His eye on me. It calls you to honesty. It calls you to repentance. It calls you to do what this woman did. Come right out into His presence. Confess all. And you'll find a welcome from the all-seeing Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.